going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That's new Cleveland Browns Shedeur Sanders. It is media availability Saturday afternoon. As the Browns shocked the world yet again, it took Shedeur Sanders. Our immediate reaction, available in the very open of this show, 92.3thefan.com and the free Odyssey app, as well as what we posted on social media when Lyme and I happened to be sitting together watching the Cavs game, and they went and they took Shedeur Sanders. And then I'm telling you right now, like, a scene from The Dark Knight could have played out right there in that arena down in Miami, and nobody in the bar would have noticed. The Cavs were up by 20-something, and they had just taken Shedeur Sanders, and it was an unreal ceremony that was going on in that bar on Saturday, Tone. It was great to be with you there for it.
It was
awesome.
So much fun, because the draft, at least for a bad football team, like, I remember I used to always say, oh, the draft is the Super Bowl for so many fans. Well, when you've gotten to this point and all you have left is just hope, and sometimes it's blind hope, not even faith, just hope. I hope whoever's making the picks, I hope they're right. Hey, you know what? If it was Jimmy that came in and made the Shedeur pick, it's a terrible process, but I hope it ends up working. Like, the last callers that go cheer for one of the callers
that go cheer for the Steelers. He says he's cheering for the Steelers.
I mean, that's obviously not a viable option for most sane, you know, humans in Northeast Ohio. We're not just going to go to the Steelers. So we can rag on our decision makers. We can rip on the process. And I do have big questions about the process. How it could possibly lead to taking Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. But you got to give me hope. You got to give me that at the very least.
216-474-0092. I got to get the Jay in East Cleveland here. Jay, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi.
I appreciate y'all for taking my call so much, but there's a couple of things I want to touch on if I can real fast.
All right.
Now, I hope one of these QBs can play well enough so we don't have to spend them picks next year on a quarterback. But none of the guys been drafted in the position where you say, hey, this is the guy's my franchise quarterback where you got to commit to him. I don't understand. A lot of the talking heads said, well, I don't understand the plan. Well, the plan is simple. They never planned on taking him. He dropped low enough so they could take him. And with that being said,
well, Jay, why didn't they take him ahead of Gabriel?
Because they didn't want him ahead of Gabriel.
I agree with Jay.
And then he proved.
Do you think they have a better evaluation on him and his skill, his talent level, or Gabriel's?
I say Gabriel, because Gabriel is like one of the all-time winners, QBs, touchdown passes. His tape, if you're watching it, apples to apples, got to be better. But what I want to continue to say is that none of that stuff really matters when you get on the field and in the practice room, because all that stuff will weave itself out. Because I love this position for Shedeur, because now he can't come in slacking. It's no Johnny vibes. Flacco's going to be there. Pickett's going to be there. They're all going to be there. Who's going to be the first one in? Who's going to be the first one out? Listening to the draft when Shooter got drafted, his conference call with the media, y'all just played a clip. I see why Shooters fail. I almost got a headache listening to that guy. The guy was answering questions that nobody even asked him. They would ask him a question. It seemed like he was distracted or had something else going on. They would ask him a question, and he would answer a question that wasn't even what the media asked him. I started getting headaches, and he just started rambling so much during his conference call. I said, man, this guy's horrible. I'm not expecting the guy to be a rocket scientist. You know, Eli Manning, I don't think he had a chance at going to NASA when his NFL career was over. And then my wife was listening, and she commented, is something wrong with him? I said, yeah, baby, that's what I said. Sounds like something wrong with this guy. But let's bring them all in. Let's see what they do, and let's roll them out. It won't be no BSing, man. If he got to come in there and he got to really work hard, and the cream is going to rise to the top, so you won't get it. And I did get some Johnny Manziel vibes with this draft pick. I'm hoping he'll work out. But he's got to be there on time to weave himself out.
I get sensitive to the Manziel stuff. And, Jay, thank you for the call. I get sensitive to the Manziel stuff because Manziel, I mean, there were substances involved here. I mean, the guy doesn't deny it. There were substances involved. Everything I hear about Shedeur Sanders, they say he doesn't smoke or drink or whatever. So I don't have to worry about that. I think what I have to worry about is the outside distractions of, like, when everybody keeps playing the clip of him and Cam Ward, and Cam Ward's like, yeah, I don't have any other hobbies. I play football. And obviously, Shedeur Sanders has other hobbies like music and so on and so forth. If they would have taken him number two overall, I think that's warranted. He's a fifth-round pick. He is a fifth-round pick. I cannot stress this enough. And when you brought up the Dylan Gabriel stuff, yes, I think they like Dylan Gabriel that much more. Yes, they do. Yes, I do. 100%. Because if you're going to make that pick and have us sitting there in that studio staring at each other going, what did they just do? Boy, you've made that pick with some conviction.
But here's what I'm saying, Kenny. There's nobody in the NFL that does this for a living that guys that used to work in the NFL and now, you know, do the scouting or whatever. Nobody had Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shedeur.
No, but they feel that Dylan Gabriel had, they told the world already, no matter what they say, they believe that Dylan Gabriel has a better chance to be a competent NFL quarterback than Shedeur Sanders. That's why they took him in the third round. That's why they drafted a running back in Dylan Sampson in the fourth round and then waited till the fifth to finally take Shedeur Sanders. And it might not even, I mean, we don't even know who made the call. So if they took the guy there, that's why I say, hey, man, I know there's a lot of bluster right now, and I know a lot of people don't like Shedeur Sanders because there's Flash and his father and all that other stuff. But let's call it what it is. You got two guys ahead, then you got Dylan Gabriel, and then he may very well be the odd man out. He's got to prove a lot starting this weekend. He has to. Or this is all a lot of hot air for not a lot much else. Other than, hey, it's the Browns. We have a history with quarterbacks. We have a history with guys who come in as celebrities, and they don't work out here. And so because of that history is why we're getting some of the stuff, some of the wild stuff that we've already had in the first hour today. It's that simple. Now, I look at the draft. I'll tell you this before we get back to the calls. I scratch my head on the Dylan Gabriel thing the whole time. All right? I'm getting some stuff from the analytics folks. This is weird that through the first part of the draft, I'm hearing about how it's all, like, you and I came in on Friday and it was all, this is anti-analytics. This is not the type of things that analytics would tell them to do. And then I see by the end of the draft, the analytics people like Warren Sharp and everybody, they seem to like this draft, that the Browns got the second most value of anybody else in the draft. That the only problem would be, and ifs, to me it's just ifs and buts, if they would have taken Shedeur Sanders 33rd overall and taken Dylan Gabriel 144th, people would be putting this draft up on a pedestal. Guys, I don't know about that stuff anymore. I mean, good God, the Jets have been winning the draft over the last decade, and look what their football team has been. But it's very odd to me that the year that there's so many people going, boy, this does not seem to be analytics. They're knocking down guardrails. All the analytics people seem to love this draft.
Yeah, I was a little confused just because
PFF loved it.
Look, I'm not going to act like I've studied a lot of film going into the draft on the linebacker that they took where they took from UCLA. But, you know, linebacker is not considered a premium position. The premium positions are always after quarterback. It's always edge rusher, tackle, you know, on your offensive line. Well, yeah. They need those. They need offensive linemen. What did they do the offensive line? Then wide receiver and corner, what did they do at wide receiver? So that's the one thing I'm a little confused about. And as far as running back, I mean, obviously, not just because he's an Ohio State kid, I like the player. I just thought Travion Henderson was the more explosive player, could catch the ball out of the backfield, better blocker. Like, to me, does more things. So I was a little surprised there that the pick wasn't Henderson.
But
he does have the injury concern. So
yeah. Quinshon Judkins is a fire plug, though.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, they were both fantastic in that backfield. That's why, you know, and I'm going to get to the running back thing coming up here at around 7:30, because we got to go over this prank call that was made at Shador Sanders coming up at 7:22. This will be the first time I heard it. I cringed. I couldn't even make it through. I didn't even want to start it because I cringed at the prank call that was sent to him. I don't like that sort of thing, but we'll play it coming up at 7:22 this morning. It's very odd that the analytics people like the draft. So when we're talking about, and you know, this goes back to you and me, because I don't like taking two quarterbacks here. I didn't. But why do the analytics people, and I got to ask this to Daryl, I got to ask this at 9 o'clock to Jason Lloyd, they seem to love it because maybe it's just more swings at the most important position. Dylan Gabriel, strong arm. I think that he has a fighting chance to be a backup in the NFL. That's why I was surprised that they took him in the third round, for crying out loud, because I know that he's an adult. We talked to him on Friday night. He's definitely a grown man. Shador definitely has a lot of upside. He's just got to put all the work in to catch up. Clearly, he's got some catching up to do and to be able to make a roster. And then we'll figure it out with everybody else.
Analytics are never going to take into account chemistry, personality, leadership. You know, bringing both those quarterbacks in at the same time from moment one.
It was a draft that's all over the place because, like, you take Mason Graham. Hey, this is a tough-ass guy in the locker room there. I know he's pretty soft-spoken, but this is a tough-ass guy in the locker room there that you can go with. Carson Schlesinger, everybody's going leader, good in coverage, great tackler, you need this guy. I mean, they just kept talking about captain. They needed guys like that with Deshaun Foster taking over as their head coach last year. You got a guy like that. Like, it was, hey, we're going to lay the wood. We're going to play tough this year. And then you go to what you did, and I'm going, boy, you guys are all over the place. You guys are all, like, at first it did seem like there was a plan. Now I guess you were going to take guys that you knew were going to help this year, and then you're going to take guys that you're going to take a swing at the most important position before you take your big swing at the most important position, which would be a year from now, and whoever's coming out of the draft at that position. I did not hear the prank call yet. That type of stuff, I go, oh, God. As a man, I used to prank call a lot of people when I was a kid. I never got a chance to prank NFL prospects. How many prank calls did you leave when you were a kid?
Oh, we did a ton. We did a ton all the time. I remember I set it up once when I learned how to do three-way calling. I put two radio stations on the phone with each other at the same time. And I couldn't believe it worked. The guy's like, you called me. He's like, no, you called me. Like two call screeners.
That's great.
We're just going after it, and I'm sitting there giggling in the background.
That's better than anything I did. I just would, like, call my buddy's dads and say that they're, like, their sons spray-painted something on my daughter's car and threatened to kick their ass. Because I had, like, an older voice to my buddies, a couple of them believed it, a couple of them said, Kenny, get off the phone. Knock it off. So I'm going to hear this prank call here. This is from a kid named Jax Albrecht, who is the son of the Falcons defensive coordinator. Why is everything, you remember the Falcons went after us on social media years ago and had to apologize for it? Why does it always involve the Falcons? Why are the Falcons always trolling us some way, somehow? So I've never heard this. This is a prank phone call placed by the son of the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons.
This is kind of cut together from both sides,
okay,
from each phone.
Okay, because Shador was on camera when he took the call.
We've seen the Shador side and we've seen the kid side, but these are together.
This kid got Shador's private NFL phone just for draft day. Amazing. He got his number, and the kid decided to record himself with his buddies making a call to Shador Sanders, faking that he got drafted by somebody. Hit it.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
How are you, man?
Good. Been waiting on you.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
Yes, sir. Let's be legendary.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
Okay. What does that mean?
I don't like that.
Well, when you see Shador, he later says, well, nobody has this number. It's like, well, bunch of sons of coordinators have this number, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Around the NFL.
I didn't think it was well done, to be honest with you.
No, but just the situation was the perfect prank. To call Shador while he is free-falling, to somehow penetrate that, get his private phone number.
But
then it's here's the other thing.
If it were funny, I would laugh at it.
Here's why it's perfect. Because they got video of it. And because it got released. Like, why is Shador allowing his buddies or his filmmaking crew that follows him 24/7? Why are they allowing this to be put out? It's your moment of most vulnerability.
Everything's content. Everything's content. And by the way, apparently a bunch of people feel bad for him. They're buying his stuff off his website.
Oh,
so
I did.
So they feel bad for it. So he's making money off this.
I did feel bad for him. But it's why it's a perfect prank. Because he thought it was real.
I don't know.
He thought it was real.
I understand, but not only did I not think it was funny, I didn't think it was well done. I didn't think it... Owen, can you...
No, it sounded like the kid froze up once the...
Yeah, he didn't know what to do.
The moment came.
Yeah.
It was not delivered in, you know... It was definitely not a crank yankers call where they would have went and reused it later, because had he come out and said, how's the wait been, Shador? And Shador's like, well, you know, it's been a long wait. And then he goes, well, you're going to have to wait a little longer.
Yeah.
It's but like he told him, we're going to pick out. You, and then he goes, oh, wait, we're going to wait on you.
Did he realize then maybe he was making a tremendous mistake he was going to have to apologize for? I mean, he's released a statement, called it unforgivable. And
did he realize who his father was? Did he realize that it was going to come back to bite his family? And I'm sure he was thinking, oh, crap. I'm going to have to deal with dad here.
How do you deal with this if you're the defensive coordinator of the Falcons?
Well,
the
son is where he's at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And so the dad's in Atlanta.
Yes.
You can be there in 4.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
I'd have to look that up, but it can't be that long of a drive to be there. You've also got Arthur Blank's private jet. I'm sure you can say, hey, Mr. Blank, I need to borrow this for a minute. I'm going over to whoop somebody's ass. Like, I don't care how old you are. This is not a... Because now you're putting me out there. Now, if it's my kid and I'm the defensive coordinator of the Falcons, I am absolutely losing my mind on my kid.
So we heard Kevin's reaction to it. Here is Shador Sanders himself answering the question about the prank call.
It didn't really have no impact on me because it was just like, I mean, okay. I don't feed into negativity or I don't feed into that stuff. It just is what it is. Of course, I feel like it was a childish act, but everybody do childish things here and there.
Yeah, I thought he took it well.
Yeah,
I thought he totally took it well.
That was also a day later.
Yeah.
That was also had been drafted. I'd like to... And there was a video of him saying, like, I don't know how they got the number. I had that phone just for the draft day thing.
Well, once you find out who had actually called, and it's like, all right, he's going to get his. It's very easy to kind of move on. It is very easy to do that. But, okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a lot meaner,
just
nastier.
The hard part is that Shador thinks he's being drafted.
Yes.
That's why the prank is amazing. Like, if you were to conspire to pull off a prank, and this was the guy, the most famous guy in this draft. Think about it. Cam Ward got taken number one overall. Nobody's talking about him in Tennessee. Nobody's talking about him. It's the Shador stole his free fall, absolutely stole all the headlines.
Ooh.
It's under the microscope.
Joe tweets at us, the coordinator's son is a Nepo baby. Don't ask me to define Nepo baby.
Yeah, true,
so
right?
Goes back to a caller earlier this morning.
Mitch also says, Jax Albrecht provided the phone number but didn't make the call. The call was his friend that actually made the call.
Oh, really? Okay.
Still,
I did not know it was the friend who made the call.
Hey, friend, you're also going to catch some, too.
It's like the new version. They should launch the new version of the Jerky Boys, him and his buddy.
Of course.
Oh, I got what's on my ass. All right, there's another thing that we have to bring up here. So the Browns, during this draft, they took
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sean Judkins, and they took Dylan Sampson, two running backs. One in the second round, one in the fourth round. Are we ready to say goodbye to Nick Chubb? A silence came over the room. Are we ready? I'll ask again.
It seems like it's over.
There was a point where driving in this morning, we have
contemplated playing the Layla song for for Deshaun Watson. He's still on the roster. Nick Chubb's not on the roster.
I don't
want to
play the Layla song ever for Nick Chubb.
And unless we're waiting for him to sign somewhere else, it feels like it's as far away as it's
I've heard he's
going
actually,
to ever be.
I got to tell you guys, maybe I shouldn't say it because it's going to kind of cast a pall over the room. I heard he is kind of getting close to another team. It happens to be in the NFC North. You
want to clarify that?
No. Not any further. That I don't – listen, man, all great things got to come to an end. And
why do you think it had to come to an end in this situation, especially this year?
I hope he comes back. I really do hope, but it's looking more and more unlikely that both sides. I think both sides are kind of ready to move on. It seems to me. I think that maybe both sides are ready because for Nick, it's like, do you want to go to a team that you think can contend? Because you and I are sitting there going, well, if they're not going to be contenders. I mean, real contenders, we might as well have fun with it. I mean, you and I said that in the opening segment with Shedeur Sanders being drafted. And for Nick, it's like, how many carries do I really have left? I mean, this is reality here. I mean, this could be very well his last season in the NFL. Could it not be? So if it is his last season in the NFL, does he want to go to a contender? And if you look at the NFC North, now I've heard which team it is in particular, but when you look at the NFC North, there are contenders there. And right now, you don't know whether or not that this is a contender. And I'm telling, like, it would bring me to nearly tears if he ended up in the AFC North. If he's in the NFC North, it is what it is. I mean, I love Nick, and he'll always be a Cleveland Brown in my eyes. But he very well could be looking at this, going, "This could be the end." And if this could very well be the end, then he knows he's beloved here. He knows that people here are going to love him now and love him forever, and that when he signed somewhere else, there would be people who are mad that the Browns didn't do everything they could to sign him. But I think that he's looking at this in the reality of what his twilight is of his career now after the significant injury, and I think the Browns are looking at it going, you know, we've added some pop to this running back room now. We didn't have a lot of pop last year. They still have Jerome Ford there. Not that that is going to make anybody excited. I think Jerome Ford's a little bit better than what we give him credit for. Just because his name is not Nick Chubb. But I think that when you bring in Quinshon Judkins, when you bring in Dylan Sampson, you're telling the world that we're probably all ready to move on from each other.
Now I do have some.
It's a sad thing to say.
I might have some bad news to break to you.
What's that? Is it good news that he's coming back?
Breaking bad news?
Yeah, breaking bad news.
We got breaking bad news?
We need a breaking bad news sponsor. Do you know who our NFC opponents are this year?
The NFC North?
The NFC North.
All right. So be it.
So you might get to see him one last time.
If he comes out and he's playing for the Lions or something like that, then you get to. If he's playing over at the stadium, you get to go. Okay, there's Nick. That's great. If he's playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I both know that's a totally different thing.
Well, okay. So the Chubb thing is one. Do you think what they did at linebacker is telling it all on JOK?
I'm very worried about that. Yeah.
I mean, we did see JOK walk into the facility.
Off-ball linebacker, good in coverage, good in tackling, good in run support, or at least arguably good in run support. Like, those are three. Second round, those are three things that we talked about with JOK.
Like, to commit that pick to linebacker when you had other premium positions of need with all the wide receivers that were available. I mean, we loved the Iowa State kids. Like, we wondered if that was going to be an opportunity, and they went linebacker. You just can't help but wonder what that means for JOK.
I think that it's a question. I know that they weren't ready to answer that question yesterday or over the weekend, which I don't think there's no reason. It has to be asked, but I don't think there's any way they would ever be ready to answer that question. It's a question that has to be asked, but I think JOK will make that decision. They will make that decision with him. But if they felt that Carson Schwessinger was the best player on the board and happened to fit that need, which seems to be a need for them, then that's what they're going to go ahead and they're going to do. Because like Moma Diabate is more of a middle, and Carson Schwessinger is more of the off-ball guy, over in coverage, things like that, then yeah, I think that fulfills that need. But I hope we end up signing Nick. I hope he ends up staying here. But the vibe I got over the weekend was everybody's kind of ready for this to not happen and that he's going to go somewhere else. And I had heard one NFC North team in particular. 216-474-0092. Slater and Akron, you're first up on the Fan.
Morning, boys.
Hi, Slater.
It's pretty obvious at this point that Stefanski, the offense, is going to run us. They're running the system, and they're thinking, guys, that the system.
I'm sorry, your connection is terrible. We have to figure out a different one. It sounded like Megatron calling in. Frank,
we'll probably get off the.
Frank and Parma, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Frank.
You know, I thought long and hard about the Shadur pick, and I'm convinced it was a self-preservation insurance pick. I think that Haslam realized by the fifth round he had a problem. And the problem was if Shadur went in the fifth round to some other team and became the next Joe Burrow, the fans would run him right out of town. So he solved the problem and just took him. And that's why the coaching staff and the general manager didn't really look like they were into the pick. But there was no way Haslam was going to let somebody else take Shadur and become a superstar.
Frank, thank you very much for the call. Tone, what do you think?
It's just hard for me to see how this plays out. I mean, maybe it'll be obvious. Maybe Shadur will be so much better.
Well, if you're looking at
than
this,
Dylan Gabriel, because you know heading into the draft, everybody had him way ahead of Dylan Gabriel. So maybe it'll be that obvious. It makes you wonder what's the point of Dylan Gabriel? Why did they pick him where they picked him? You're not going to lose a ton of sleep if Sanders is amazing.
If you think Shadur Sanders is a goofball, then it's not going to make you feel any better whatsoever. And we've had a couple of people call in today, and they think that he's a goofball, and they think it's a terrible pick and part of the reason why the Browns are the Browns. If you think he's a goofball, it's not going to make you feel any better. I think a legitimate conversation has to happen that he has fallen to the fifth round. At one point in this entire process, and while it was early, and it was right after the season, so it's right after we get done in pads, and early in this process, it was felt that he was going to be the number two or the number three overall choice. And now he's fallen to the fifth round. I think you have a real conversation. Who's going to make more of an impact? Could it be a fifth round linebacker? Could it be a fifth round wide receiver? Could it be a fifth round so-and-so? Or could it be a fifth round quarterback that's fallen so very, very far? Why has he fallen so very, very far? Can he humble himself enough to be fixed? Because he needs, clearly there's something that needs to be fixed. Whether it be his attitude in the meetings, whether it be whether or not that he can actually draw it up on the whiteboard, like something needs to click. And are you willing to take that risk? Well, you take risks with other guys in other spots. I mean, somebody gave me the fifth round choices that the Browns have had since Andrew Berry was here, and it's not a cavalcade of stars. It is not that.
Well, any teams.
You understand what I'm saying, though. And I think that any team would have to ask, is it worth the squeeze because of the distraction? I think a lot of people are calling in right now saying yes and no. Or B, does he have what it takes to actually pan out and be something great for us? Is it worth it? Because as of right now, I still say, and we'll find out more this weekend when they all get together. It's Joe and Kenny, Dylan Gabriel, because you made that pick with a bullet, because a lot of people were surprised, including myself. And then it's Shadur Sanders. I mean, you're four on that list. Cleveland Cavaliers might be on the verge of a sweep.
That's what you want to have going forward. I've seen it. I saw it with the Warriors. You know, you end up going with a game seven with the team, then it's going to affect you in the next round. The sooner you can end a series, the better. But listen, this is the Miami Heat. Game four, I expect it to be a tight, tight battle.
Cavs are playing so damn well right now. Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal are talking tough on the Cavs' behalf in the Eastern Conference.
I've already picked the Cavs to beat the Celtics. I got the Cavs in the finals.
I agree with Chucky.
Really?
I do.
That's courtesy of the NBA on TNT. I mean, this is some strong stuff being said by them. Now, we got a lot of time to talk about that. The Cavs played a tremendous brand of basketball without Darius Garland on Saturday. Before the big distraction that was the draft, Ty Jerome was having the game of his life. And already you and I got annoyed because we were starting to get the, hey, you know, Ty Jerome's playing his way out of a contract. There's another guy who's got a contract right now. Why don't we just move on from the other guy who's not playing right now that talked trash about Tyler Hero? Go ahead, Tone. You take it away.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous right now. Look, when the season ends, you know, we can see what talks need to be revisited. But because the season went the way it's gone and it looks like they are steamrolling their way to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe more. I mean, who looks better than the Cavs right now? And the fact that Garland wasn't there and Ty Jerome looked like a starting point guard. I mean, he absolutely looked like a starting point guard, even though he didn't start the game. When he came off the bench, he swung the whole game. I mean, 11 assists. They went on a 17-0 run, I think, and he just was toying with the Heat. He broke him down on every possession. For a guy that plays kind of methodically, and I'm going to pick my spots, and I mean, he got wherever he wanted on the floor and then got everybody open, and it was a pep rally. It was an amazing game to do that on the road, too, for a Heat team that was supposedly fired up about all the Darius Garland commentary.
I got worried about it. And you could tell everybody. I was nervous before the game because I'm like, I don't like this vibe. Darius says what he says about Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero fires right back on Friday, and I'm thinking, man, this is not good. This is not a good vibe for you guys. I don't like this. And then Darius is out of this game, and I'm going, well, now other guys have to answer for it. And Lyman's going, guy, don't worry about this. He goes, without Darius, they feel confident enough without Darius, they're going to win this game. And they went out there and they didn't just win the game, they boat raced Miami.
Yeah, so I would just be careful that, look, Miami's got a foot out the door. The Miami Heat, the culture that you would always hear about, I mean, that stuff is over. It's been over. I mean, Jimmy Butler wanted out, you know, the entire year, and there was a cloud over the team that, quite frankly, is still there because they know they have to rebuild now and figure out what pieces are even worth rebuilding. But they have been this has been the least physical series in the playoffs.
Well, I said so the first quarter, I go, gosh, this is a shoot around. No one's playing defense.
Yeah, it looks like a regular season game.
Everybody's taking threes. I go, where is the, because like yesterday, JB stomping up and down the court, going nuts during the Pistons game.
But that was a wrestling match.
Yes.
Yeah, compared to this. And this is what you want if you're the Cavs. Because if you watched Orlando and Boston has not played well at all. Yeah. They've been missing a player in each of their game. And we know that nobody defends like the Detroit Pistons, Orlando Magic right now in the playoffs. Nobody defends like them. We saw that firsthand last year. And they're incredible. The Cavs look the best of anybody. But you just got to be careful drawing any huge conclusions when the Heat look like the worst team in the playoffs.
Well, you've got that right. You said it. You're in the right in the first in the season to get the number one seed and to play a team that really doesn't give a bleep right now. I think that their last stand actually happened in game two. I always thought, man, going back to Miami, this is your last stand. See whether or not you could jump back in this series, or if it's 3-0, maybe that's just too much. I didn't realize game two seemed to be the last one that they were making their stand with.
Yeah, the Heat season, it was basically, hey, we got into the playoffs. It was a play-in thing. What were they, the 10 seed?
Mm-hmm.
So you compare that to what, you know, my God, in the Western Conference, the wars that are going on right now in the first round. Like the Heat, this is what you earned. The Cavs earned by being the best team all season long. They earned the right to play this team that basically is in mail-it-in mode defensively. I mean, they can't guard at the Max Strus pick and rolls. Max Strus looks like Chris Paul right now against this Heat defense. There is no defense to speak of. So I would just be careful. It's not that I don't think that Ty Jerome can play well the rest of the playoffs. He's been good all year. He's been great all year. But I wouldn't be throwing Darius Garland away just based on, you know, this series, what we've seen out of Ty Jerome.
But I think, obviously, some people, because people are very quick to give up on Darius Garland. I agree with you. The other thing that I would think of is that Evan Mobley, in the first three games, I think has gotten better and better. I know that he kind of went away in game one, but he's gotten better every game. Or I thought he was, in the first half on Saturday, I thought he was the best player on the floor. Ty Jerome set him up
everywhere.
Great, but I thought Evan Mobley was the most dominant, best player on the floor. It gave me a lot of spirit to go, okay, let's put this thing away here. Let's knock this thing down. I loved what Evan Mobley did. How could you not love what Evan Mobley did on Saturday?
Defensively, I mean, you would have thought, all right, culmination of Defensive Player of the Year. Congratulations to him. An amazing, amazing defensive season. And then what he did in that Heat game was better than any defense I saw all year from Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
That was even better by the Defensive Player of the Year. He was putting everybody in a straitjacket.
He looked like a guy who had not doubted himself in the past, but thought, you know, I'm not sure that everyone else has confidence in me, to a guy that won Defensive Player of the Year and went, oh, they all think I'm this guy, so it's time to be this guy now.
Not only that, then you look at what he's doing on offense in the series. He's not only making threes, he's taking them. And it looks clean. He's not thinking about it.
Did it give him more confidence to win that award?
Yes,
to be recognized?
I thought it did. I thought it did on Saturday.
Shooting 46% from three in these playoffs right now.
I wonder, I don't want to say it's almost a generational thing, but it's like, man, there's guys, when you lay a challenge out, in our generation, they answer the challenge. It's like, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's like, damn it, I'm going to do it. This, it's like, man, positive motivation seems to work better. You've given him this award. He earned the award. He's played very well. He earns the award of Defensive Player of the Year. And since he's got that award, it's this feeling of, I actually belong here. They have legitimized the pick. They have legitimized his standing within this league as the next sports, one of the next big thing. And he played his ass off. And it wasn't just the effort. He was just so dominant on Saturday afternoon.
He looked like a guy that went from being a talented kid that plays basketball to a man.
Yes.
He looked like a man. And it was more on the offensive side. And I know it was Defensive Player of the Year, but he just looks like finally he's grown up to be the guy that, you know, they picked him number three and all that he's become.
Like, he got Andrew Wiggins on a couple switches trying to defend him, and he just crushed him down into the post and got easy finishes against him. Like, he wasn't even there. Like, he wasn't, you know, a longtime vet who has some savvy about how to play young guys. Nope, didn't matter.
If the Cavs win tonight and the Pacers win tomorrow night, because they host the Bucks at 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night.
And Dame Lillard's done.
If they beat them on Tuesday, which exactly Dame Lillard's done, so the assumption is they will. We play them on Friday. We play them on Saturday.
We don't know yet.
Could it be Sunday game one?
Everything's in play from Thursday to Sunday right now. It all depends because the West series are going to keep going.
Because we started a series, if I'm not mistaken, with LeBron against the Pacers on a Sunday, didn't we?
I just saw the potential dates. And this could change, too, depending on what else goes on in the Eastern Conference with the other potential series. It looks like the Magic, they gave it their all, but they're about to get bounced. And Detroit's been giving it their all. They could be on the verge of getting bounced. So they might speed these series up. Indiana is going to be a much tougher opponent than what you just saw, but I think the Cavs are just flat out better than Indiana almost everywhere.